As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, Brian, it is 4:27 p.m., Friday, February 3rd. Kyrie Irving requested a trade out of Brooklyn. We're going to talk about that.
Lock in, Mike. Lock it in. Let's ride.
Guys, this is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself on the paywall, TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys. Let's say to the New York Times, Brian.
Michael, you're a sweaty mess. You're knocking into your
nets are crumbling all around us.
You've already knocked into your microphone in the intro. It's okay. It's fine. That's the kind of show it's going to be. We got to fire away.
This is so GD.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's a day.
What is happening?
It's a day in history, and that's history, Mike.
For those who are coasting and thinking they're going to ride off into this gorgeous, cold, bitter weekend, we're not. We're not going to coast because Kyrie Irving has requested a trade out of Brooklyn because the Nets cannot come together on a contract extension with a guy who claims to be a leader for this team. He claims over and over again in his stupid press conferences.
Wow. Mike, loading it up already.
His ridiculous farces of a press conference that he is the leader for this team. And what he continues to be is so unbelievably selfish. So unbelievably selfish.
Wow.
It was a scant 3 months ago, I don't even know if I'm doing my math correctly, it's probably shorter than that, that Kyrie was embroiled in an anti-Semitic video scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this team did suspend him, which we all know that he didn't like. They gave him a list of rules to follow. We know that he didn't actually follow through on a bulk of those rules, but they still let him back because Joe Tsai has the most flexible spine in the NBA. You know, my kids have those toys where, like, the Stretch It Armstrongs, but that concept has gone to Hulk and Spider-Man, all the sort of action figures. Joe Tsai, the bendiest backbone in the NBA.
Okay.
Brian, we potted.
Yeah, we did.
We potted during those days.
We did.
And I loudly proclaimed, and I kind of had to walk it back while the team was winning 11 in a row, but or whatever it was, 9 in a row. But I loudly proclaimed that this team would never win a championship with Kyrie Irving. Never win a championship with Kyrie Irving. I said he's unreliable. He is never to be relied upon. And the amount of time it takes to win a championship, it is 2 months of playoff basketball. He can't play 2 months of a regular season basketball without being completely selfish and nuking this team. And I'm not going to go like crazy personal. Like, it's not what this is about.
Yeah.
But let's focus on the basketball, inside the basketball. He is so insane. Like, he has requested a trade because he can't get the contract extension that he wants. And we understand from reporting that the contract extension includes some amount of, like, hey, you need to play basketball games. And that is why he is upset.
So the stipulations are a sticking point. I would love to see what exactly those stipulations are. If any party could leak that, I would be enormously. Our DMs are open for the leaks of what the stipulations are. Mike, let's...
Because we often get...
We do.
So many contracts set our way.
A lot of agents come into the DMs. We get a lot of stuff. I keep going back to this, like, why force the issue as Kyrie Irving right now? Like, what is the net benefit to him to do this? Walk me through the logic of why Kyrie would want to do this. Like, take the emotion, like his whatever leadership responsibilities, take that out of the equation. We're talking vacuum. What's the net benefit to him? Is he going to get the extension if he gets traded to another team right away? I mean, right now his trade value is in a hinky place. Let's call it like we see it. He has, you know, there's a couple of different suitors out there. You have them behind you. If you're watching on YouTube, there's five teams that, I think Bobby Marks has highlighted potentially whoever it was. No, it's Bobby Marks. It says it right there. Walk me through how this makes sense contract wise, just career wise for Kyrie Irving, Mike. Walk me through that.
I think what it is a case of bad representation, Brian.
You really think so? You don't think there's a net benefit to doing this? Like, you think he would be in a better position to get the contract extension, sans stipulations potentially in the end of the season, or just be able to walk and have a better contract? I mean, like, walk me through that.
Yeah, by far the best plan would have been, which is what we thought he was following through with, when he came back from his anti-Semitic video, when he came back from that scandal, he was allowed back to play. That's what he did. I didn't do it. He did it.
You keep the way that you charge it is
the, you like the way
you really ramp up.
I'm a Semite, I know, so I'm kind of allowed
when it comes out, yeah,
to give it a little juice on there.
You did. You put some juice on it.
My ancestors power threw me on that
some
one.
Manischewitz on it is what you did.
After his anti-Semitic video scandal, we thought he was being, there's some level of reformation. You know, the Instagram activity had died down a bit. He was fantastic on the basketball court. He seemed to be a leader. I had done a bit of when KD went out with injury this year versus last year, how this year the team seems to be held together partly because of Kyrie, and last year they just completely crumbled because James Harden was so sort of ineffectual and Kyrie was not playing half the games because of the vaccine issue. The reason why this is happening is this contract dispute. And he is getting terrible, terrible guidance from, let's remind people who his agent is. His agent is his stepmother, which is nothing wrong for the fact that he chose his stepmother to be his agent. I think that's a fantastic thing that he's having a woman represent him in a business where it's far dominated by men. A fantastic choice. The reason why it's problematic is she has no experience being an agent. And this is going to sound like I'm a shill for WME or CAA, or I don't really know all the basketball agencies. Brandon Goodwin, I know that's an agent who represents Dame Lillard.
Sure.
But if he had a regular NBA agent, a Mark Bartlestein, if you will.
Okay. All right, Mike, I see you. Busted. Busted. Oh.
I should have slipped in one of my fellow Jews there in the tribe.
I
appreciate you calling me out for that. Yeah. Thank you. I needed that. I need a cold bath. Yeah. If he had a regular agent, that agent would have told him, and I think you would agree with me, Brian, because you're actually the lead PR consultant for a lot of NBA players. People don't really know
this. Side hustle. It's a good side hustle.
That what you need to do, Kyrie, you need to ball out in 2022-2023 season, take the Nets to the playoffs, be mano-a-mano with, or not mano-a-mano with, well, you know, man on the side with Kevin Durant,
yeah,
and put up buckets. Not say anything dumb, not do anything dumb, you are going to get a very nice contract, whether it's from the Nets or from another team.
Yeah.
By launching yourself 6 days before the trade deadline into this discussion, a team that is sort of treading water, but a competitive team, a team that we just had a podcast 2 days ago about, or a day ago, about, like, oh, that, you know, like the Nets, you know, if they trade Ben Simmons or someone else, you know, they're a championship contender. They are. For him to be this selfish, it is. It's selfish. It's so completely selfish because he's not getting the contract he wants from the Nets, it's not only selfish, it's just bad planning. Again, the thing to do, play basketball. Remind people how good you are at basketball. He was doing that. He is an all-star. I cannot wait to see if Kevin Durant picks him in the all-star game. If Kyrie is even going to be a Net, because the all-star game, remember, is after the trade deadline now. So it is. So I don't know if you agree with that. I'm sorry. I'm kind of yelling. I'm liking Stephen A.
But go for it.
Do you agree? I think the reason why he's making this trade request is because he's not getting that contract, and he thinks the best leverage point is demanding a trade.
I find it interesting. There's a big difference in the kind of Kyrie apologia fan base.
That, I'm talking Nets? Yeah.
Whoa.
No. No. Get it on Keith. Everything's coming out today, Brian. No, stop.
Keith is a friend of the show. This is all memes.
Is he a friend of the show?
He's a friend of the show.
Because he keeps going in our DMs. And every time I say something about Kyrie that's slightly negative, he's like, there you go again. I don't know if it's Keith or whoever runs the Talking Nets account, which I'm sure is Keith. I love Keith. Am I allowed to say that Talking Nets has been carrying water for your guy Kyrie?
I don't think it's just talking
RDMs.
I don't think it's just talking
RDMs. Are mentioned.
There's a lot of people who continue to do this, and I find it interesting. I'm not angry.
Talking Nets is one of those people that continue to do it.
Easy. I'm not angry at anyone in particular. I do find it interesting that the Harden version of this, where he asked for a trade.
You were the water carrier.
I was carrying water, which I've currently disavowed, James Harden. Everyone knows my stance on James Harden. Disavow, hardline disavow. But if you were nasty towards James Harden in that decision, and you were still like, well, you know, Kyrie, if you're not doing the same kind of immediate, okay, you quit on the team, you just got to question yourself. Just question where you are as a fan, just question your biases, you know, if you have any kind of prejudices, just have a long think, because I think that this one is similar. Let's just call it similar. I'll call it. It is a very similar sort of quitting at a very vulnerable time in the season. And it sucks that that keeps happening. And that kind of this could dovetail into the next part of the conversation, which is does management shoulder some of the blame here, Mike, if there's blame to be had.
Do you think the Sean Marks, let's name names.
There's a lot Sean of Marks. People that are kind of running defense on both sides of this. So it's a spicy time in the Nets. And hey, we're kind of adding to the spice right now. And really this is part of us just kind of ramping each other up for content creation purposes. I feel like not you, Mike, you seem You're pissed.
No, I'm legitimately confused by anyone that's carrying water for Kyrie Irving on any level. Okay,
but then at the same time, like,
on any level, but the guy, this is the most ridiculous, selfish move to happen while a team is in the playoff chase. This is unprecedented in NBA history. Now, I'm sure someone's going to be in my mentions and send me something of like, oh, Kobe Bryant requested a trade during the season, which he did, but the Lakers sucked at that time, if I remember correctly. So, like, this is not productive. Not productive to the goal of winning. Okay. And I thought that's the goal of basketball, is to win.
In our lengthy pre-production call, Mike, you mentioned that this might be the undoing of Sean Marks. So it's interesting to me that you are, at the same time, you're saying, obviously, this is a unforced, just a heel turn from Kyrie towards the Nets. But also, you're, to some extent, entertaining the idea that Sean Marks will be the person whose head will roll for this thing. So how does that work? Walk me through that logic.
Okay, so something also may be happening with this trade request that came out via Woj, Shams, Chris Haynes. I'm trying to just the roundup of like the most influential basketball reporters who all had this at the same time, is that whether Kyrie's agent, his stepmom, leaked it out, or whether it was Sean Marks. You know, it's actually up for debate who would want this out there right now, because immediately, once it got out there, a market started to build for Kyrie Irving, which is one of the most interesting parts of this, is that because it is happening now, there's desperation from teams like the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns. Like, there are teams that are desperate, and they are now thinking of trading for Kyrie, when earlier this year, when he tweeted out his anti-Semitic video and Instagrammed it. I'm sorry. There were two all channels. Right, right. What? No, he. I didn't do it. He did it again. This is what he did. I know, I'm just. I know. This is just the record. It seemed like there was no market. And Bill Simmons, funny enough, he wrote something for like the first time in 2 years, which is his NBA trade value rankings. And he had Kyrie on the all dishonorable list, meaning like not in the top 70. That's the number that he listed. He had Ben Simmons and Kyrie on the dishonorable mentions. Mm-hmm. Funny enough that that came out. And actually, I think Kyrie's trade value, there is some to be had, which we will get to in this episode. Sean Marks. I think one thing to Kyrie for the reason why this got out is, if it came out from Kyrie's side, is to put pressure on Sean Marks and ipso facto put pressure on Joe Tsai via Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant realizing, because Kevin Durant doesn't talk to his friends about this stuff. You know, KD just, he just lets his friends be friends. He doesn't talk about contracts, which I respect. I don't talk to you about your money, right? So I get
that. That's not true.
Yeah, actually, I ask you pretty much every day, yeah. But how much money do you make?
Yeah.
So I'm a bad case study for this. But it could be putting pressure on Sean Marks to give up that like a 3-year max extension so that he gets the contract that he wants, because Kevin Durant will say, come on, we could win a championship with Kyrie. I trust Kyrie. I don't care about anything else. I care about his ball skills. Let's give him the contract. Because remember, ball is life.
Yeah, yeah.
The religion of Bucket Getting.
Just the way you said ball skills, it's just it got me. Anyways, continue, sorry.
Yeah, anyways. So I just, there is a theory out there that's like, oh, now he's trying to go over Sean Marks' head to send the message out there to Joe Tsai, where Joe Tsai is going to come in off the top rope. We know that Joe Tsai is willing to fire people. I mean, he fired Steve Nash. He fired that guy, what was his name? Something Levy, who used to be at TNT. Yeah,
David Levy? Is that it?
Yeah, he was there for like a day or something.
He was president for a day. Heck of a day.
Yeah. And so Joe Tsai is willing to do that. And we already know that Kevin Durant wanted Sean Marks fired this summer, or at least that's what we believed. He wanted Marks and Nash gone. So this could be a play by Kyrie to be like, I want my extension. I want Sean Marks gone. If you give me that extension, I will not do anything else bad. You know, I won't threaten to ask to be traded right now. And KD and I will ride off into the sunset and win championships in Brooklyn if you fire Sean Marks. He's saying this to Joe Tsai. Do you think that's the case? Do you think that's a possibility that Kyrie's thinking of it that level, basically?
To be honest, that was a really long thing, and there's parts of it that so just summarize it really quickly. What
that part of the reason? Sorry, there's a lot to that. Yeah. I'm looking at the time. Yeah. I think it was 4 minutes straight of talking. Kyrie, leaked out that he's not getting the contract that he wants.
Right. Okay.
That he has requested a trade. Mm-hmm. Doing so, trying to go over Joe Tsai's head, over Sean Marks' head.
Yeah.
Putting pressure on Sean Marks to either come to the table and give him a guaranteed contract of max value, or for Joe Tsai to fire Sean Marks so that then Kyrie can get the contract from whatever assistant GM would take over the Brooklyn Nets.
I mean, if that is the logic, I think it's pretty faulty. I think the idea that it's a pretty, like, yeah, that's a lot to ask for Joe Tsai. You have to have a pretty good, like, inside track with Joe Tsai to think, like, oh, if I'm not going to get the deal that I want, you're going to fire a guy and put in a puppet to do my bidding, and that's the guy that's going to be a contract. I mean, it's possible if they have a super friendly relationship. That part of it feels slightly unrealistic to me, especially given all the, riffraff earlier in the season, we'll call it. So that would be tough for me to believe. Here's the thing. I think I agree with the logic in that it's possible that they think that that will force their hand. I think, like, here's the thing. Like, Kyrie is maybe, I can't tell how self-aware or not he is, but, like, the idea is to seem less dramatic, right? Or, like, less of a problem off the court, right? That's sort of, like, the stipulations of the current agreement that you want to now amend. Causing the drama to amend the current agreement is a sort of violation of the, the good faith efforts to negotiate on that one. So you're kind of breaching the contract there, whether actually or not, it's just the symbolism of the contract. So if that's true, that he's trying to force, and it's possible that he and his agent think that this will force a hand, I actually think it'll have the reverse effect. That's sort of my thinking. I think that the Nets don't need a whole lot of incentive to actually want to trade Kyrie in a world in which he is being dramatic. So it's sort of this catch-22, right? He's like, I want the contract, but I'm not allowed to be dramatic. And then being dramatic about the contract that I want is now causing me to not get the contract. So it's a little bit of a tongue twister.
Don't you think that hurts his, him doing this hurts his value to, so like, let's say he had played out this season and they had lost in the second round, but he had done nothing else to sort of offend the basketball gods, right, on any level. I think more teams would have been interested in him in that scenario than what is happening right now. This is just another file, another piece of paper in the Kyrie file that makes it seem like, if I'm another team, why do I want to give Kyrie an extension too, or sign him to a contract? Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, this damages his open market value, not just in trades.
That's the part of it that I find really intriguing is like, so the trade partner presumably is going to have some kind of handshake or very real deal about like signing an extension. They're getting a pretty unknown quantity. It's actually a known quantity so far up to this point. It really puts people in a sticky position. I mean, there's plenty of people that want to take a flyer on Kyrie, but if his goal is to get an extension, like, is he going to get that from any of these? Are these sign and trades going to like be with a guaranteed extension on top of them? I mean, how is that going to even be possible?
That's a really good point. Like, yeah. Maybe that becomes an unfortunate, that would damage the Nets' trade value, because if any team is getting Kyrie for the fact of them saying, then like, you got to, like, we have to then negotiate with Kyrie and give him a contract, it's going to be harder for them to, the Nets, to make a trade to do that.
Right.
You know,
let's do some trades. Let's do some trades. Get us in there.
No, I'm going to do quick break. Coming back, I'm going to put you in the hot seat. Okay.
Okay.
Because I feel like I've been talking too much, and I'm going to put you on the hot seat.
Oh, boy. Okay, oh, I don't like the sound of this.
Coming right back.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And we're back, Brian.
Okay.
Everyone knows I'm a Wizards fan.
Yeah.
That's another meme. Yeah. Even though I've been doing a Nets podcast for 10 years, I'm letting it all fly out.
Yeah.
I'm bitter.
Yeah.
I'm bitter.
Let it out.
It's a Friday. It's a freak show Friday
here. You got your dad beers going, your dad IPAs.
How do you feel? You're the guy who I think the first time I ever saw you at Syracuse, you were wearing a Kenyon Martin gray and red and white. Like that is what you wore to impress.
Yeah, to impress people.
Yeah, it was the Kenyon Martin.
The people around me, my peers.
And it wasn't like a pristine kid. No, it was wrinkly. Well-worn. It was
been through some battles.
Yeah, it was always wrinkly. It was never like perfectly. No. Yeah. So how do you feel? This is your team more than my team.
Again, I'm a compartmentalizer in all things in life. Like, that's how I get by, really.
That's the Neanderthal.
It's the Neanderthal. You might call it suppression. You could suppress certain parts of your life. In this case, I think of it as two part. It's Brian, the podcaster, Brian, the Nets fan. Burn the Nets fan is a little bit weary of a Ben Simmons led February and March here. That's a little scary to me. I will keep it real on that level. You know, Kyrie is a phenomenon to watch. So on and so forth. You know, everyone knows. Then there's the podcast part. I will say I am pretty stoked to be out of the Kyrie Irving soap opera market. I don't want it anymore. It isn't fun. It makes people really angry at each other. I think I finally understood why, like, you know, these Celtics fans who are like, you know, they're from Boston, they're kind of idiots. And so, like, they were telling me, oh, you're going to hate having Kyrie on the team. When he first came to the team, like, we were like, all sins are forgiven. Like, let's ride. Like, we got our guy. Like, that's sure. That's fine. Hey, a Jersey guy, you know, I lived up the street from him. Like,
there's that picture of him holding up the net when he was a kid. He was holding up the red, white, blue Nets symbol. It was
and
great.
And I'm not going to attribute it to any one thing, but in general, I have never seen the Nets, like, online community more divided than during the Kyrie Irving tenure. And I'm not saying it's anyone's fault. It just had that effect of making people angry towards each other in a way I have not seen this community be ever before. And so, like, when people say it's like he's divisive, I was like, well, in what way? I don't know. But now I kind of know. It's just there's a way in which he kind of forces a wedge between people, and it sucks. It sucks to be a podcaster, content creator, and having to, like, you know, dodge the laser beams of all of the, like, ways to talk about Kyrie Irving and his decision making and so on and so forth. And it's just like, I'm kind of thankful that I don't have to do that anymore. I am pretty happy about it.
We think. Because again, yes, Josiah could come off the top rope.
This could be an off the top rope.
And give him a 5-year contract extension.
Situation, for sure.
Russell Westbrook is Joe Biden and Kyrie is Donald Trump. It's like we went through 4 years of President Trump, and however you felt about him, it was exhausting.
It's not unlike and that. Kyrie is, how I feel.
Except the thing is, Trump was pro-vaccine, if we're going to be honest. Way more than Kyrie.
I think it's a good way to put it, though. That it's just like, it just was like, broadly, you were paying attention to things more than you ever were, and you were like locked into this like cycle of like doom scrolling, and whether you liked him or not, you were just paying too much attention to it. It just took up too much bandwidth.
And we all were like, okay, now Joe's in here, it'll be okay. You know, it's not like great. You know, it's not great. Oh, I love the Yes Network. They're tweeting out New York Liberty stuff right now because that's, the Liberty sign, Brianna Stewart and Sweet. Courtney Vandersloot.
Let's go.
Which Fired is up. Very exciting. Yeah, it's.
Do you agree with my, is that how you feel as well? Or?
Well, it is so, again, to talk. Yeah, it's exhausting because this whole Kyrie experience, it is so problematic. The team's future, this season, rests so much on Kyrie's impinged shoulders. Mm-hmm. And we've always felt this way. And again, I go back to the pods that we did earlier this year. I got the receipts, the audio receipts, CVS long receipts of us talking about, you know, the team cannot rely on Kyrie Irving. If you're going to win a championship, you cannot rely on him. And we were kind of, we kind of let it happen again, like, because he puts on a show. He is so goddamn gifted. I'm out here defending the guy in terms of his leadership and talking about, because I thought that it mattered. And the fact that he played a video game with Royce O'Neal. I don't know if you remember that. He played Donovan Mitchell and Royce O'Neal in a video game. And I was like, oh, he talks to his teammates. So great. And yet I cannot express how insanely selfish this is, that this is happening now. It is incredibly unusual for a guy who I understand his frustration on not getting a contract that he thinks he deserves, even though he doesn't. He does not deserve a max extension of more than an extra year. He doesn't deserve it because he is so unreliable on so many levels. But he thinks he does because he plays basketball. And when he's on the court, he cooks dudes. Mm-hmm. All he does is put up insane bucket after insane bucket. And he is a championship winning point guard who played with LeBron and took the last shot in games while he was still playing with LeBron. He hit game winners while he's playing with KD. So he feels like he is one of the greats of all time. And he is, in terms of just pure basketball in a vacuum. The problem is there's so much else that goes on in terms of being the star of a team. He has continued to destroy his credibility as a
leader time and time again, whether it has to do with I'm not going to get in the vaccine, but like, you know, the injuries or the things he says, or when he just kind of disappeared for those 2 weeks in time and we had no explanation, you know, and maybe he had explained it to the team. There's just, it's enough. Right. And so what stinks is that as a Nets fan, I am done. I've been done with him, you know, before, and I get roped back in. I am done with him now. I will be elated when he's gone, but that elation will immediately be hit by, God damn, this team is not going to be any good, because I have the fake trades. I've got the fake trades from six teams that the Nets could trade with. All of them are bad. Mm. All of them represent step downs, except for one.
That's a gorgeous segue, Mike. Why don't we get into them? That's a gorgeous.
Sound the sounder. Hey, yeah. Fake trade time. Yeah. So there are teams that have been already listed out there as potential landing spots for Kyrie. It was funny. Like, Woj had tweeted out something to the effect of that. You know, like, no one knows the market for Kyrie. And then pretty quickly, the market was forming, and we were learning more and more about what certain teams could offer. The people that are being put out there are the Phoenix Suns, the Los Angeles Clippers, Lakers, of course, Miami Heat, Timberwolves as a possibility, sort of a dark horse. The Mavericks are a team that has been getting a lot of sort of pub within all this. So Lakers, Heat, Clippers, Timberwolves, Suns, and Mavericks. Magic Johnson tweeted out that he'd love to see Kyrie in the purple and gold. And God, do I wish that Magic Johnson was still running the Lakers. Because I do feel like,
yeah,
not that like Sean Marks is like super genius, right? But like, if you had some level of desperation with Magic as running the Lakers, you could extract maybe those two first round picks plus Russell Westbrook, where I don't know if that's going to happen. Of all those teams, Brian, are there any ones that you definitely don't want to see Kyrie go to, or do you not care at this point? Do you know what I mean?
You mean like go to and like win potentially and have success?
Yeah. Yeah. Would that bother you? Oh. And by the way, LeBron has just tweeted out eye emoji in the crown.
Okay. Oh boy.
So that's it. Game over.
Lock that in.
Game over.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing. I have to divorce myself from the feeling of like, it's not working. It's obviously not working here with the Nets. And, you know, I want people to flourish. I want the Nets to win primarily, but it doesn't, you know, if it's Nets, then it doesn't matter who it is. Or if it's not the Nets, I don't really care who it is. There's a strong potential that Kyrie can go to one of these teams and they could be really good. And that would be, you know, that would hurt a little bit in the feels if you don't start divorcing. Put the feelings down the feeling hole. Start suppressing them. Start now. Start early. That's my tip. So, like, yeah, he could go to the Lakers, and they could get a lot better really quickly. That's possible. I don't know. I'd have to hear what, like, the Clippers are offering or what's coming back from the Heat, or I don't know. But there's a couple of those ones. I'm less worried about Wolves / Mavericks. Suns, I guess. What's the Suns trade again? What's that being floated around?
Okay. So here, I'll just kind of like pop through the trades and we'll just kind of mull it over. So Lakers would be, I mean, it'd be Russell Westbrook and Lonnie Walker for Kyrie and Joe Harris.
It's really bad. It's really not something I want.
Because here's the complication people don't necessarily realize. Russ makes $47 million. Kyrie makes $37 million. You can't just do one for one.
Yeah.
And so you have to, so it's either like Kyrie and Seth Curry for just Russell Westbrook. And I guess I would pray Sean Marks could extract picks out of that. But your team's going to, Russell Westbrook and Ben Simmons, your team is done.
It's a problem. That's a problem.
And we haven't even talked about this. I just want to put it out there. Like, how does Kevin Durant react to all this?
Yeah. Let's vacuum it first and go through these deals.
He seems very excited that Brianna Stewart's with the Liberty. So maybe he'll stay for just that point of view. Okay. Heat trade would be Kyle Lowry and Nikola Jovic, their rookie, like at 6'10", you know, kind of athletic. So Kyle Lowry. The Nets just give up Kyrie. The Mavericks, it's JaVale, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Dorian Finney-Smith for Kyrie and Seth Curry. Kind of like that. Clippers, it's Reggie Jackson, Robert Covington, and Luke Kennard for Kyrie. Yeah. Timberwolves, it's D'Angelo Russell.
Clippers. It would make the Clippers really good, really quick.
Yeah. But they would have the most unreliable starting five.
That's truly the most. That's amazing.
You know?
Yeah.
Their like on-off stats would be incredible. Yeah. D'Angelo Russell for Kyrie.
Mm.
We've been there before.
Can we get a three-way to get D'Lo and Dinwiddie back and just free set. Let's go.
And just trade Kevin Durant too.
No.
And finally, Suns. Now, I don't know how true this is, but when I hear people discuss the Suns, Chris Paul's name is the name that is thrown out there. I just want to remind people this one rule. There's that designated rookie extension rule, which means a team can only have one player on its roster who has a max contract that they signed following their rookie deal. So Ben Simmons is that for the Nets. It was the reason why the Nets couldn't trade for Donovan Mitchell and not have to. If they wanted Donovan Mitchell, they would have had to have traded Ben Simmons because you only can have one of those guys on the team. DeAndre Ayton, I believe, is that guy for the Suns. So the Nets couldn't trade for DeAndre Ayton and have Ben Simmons on their team. They can trade for Chris Paul. Chris Paul is declining fairly rapidly as a player. He is still Chris Paul. And if there is one guy
out of
all these names
who could rein it in, all of a sudden take some ownership. Yeah.
Who could get that fire in his eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Chris Paul's never won a championship. He's one of the great point guards of all time. Mm. He would get to play with Kevin Durant. I hope Kevin Durant is still here. Again, under discussed that we're not talking about that. Mm. And so it's Chris Paul, Dario Saric, a guy I've always loved, for Kyrie Irving. And if you're the Suns, it's like Kyrie, Devin Booker, Maricopa County, Kerry Lake should be governor. You know, Kerry Lake and Kyrie would have, you know, they would have a real cohesive moment.
Can we talk about how it's going to be the Lakers? It just is going to be the Lakers. Is that, how do you feel?
Why do you say that, Brian?
Don't you think that, like,
because LeBron tweeted out eye emoji in the crowd?
Well, that, and also because I think there is a, and it's somewhat credible, sort of baked in excuse for, like, okay, how can we rein in Kyrie, the player? And it's like, LeBron's like, guys, I've done it before and I can do it again. And this is all it takes to, cause like a lot of these teams are going to have all the kind of qualms that we have about this, but, there is a history with LeBron, maybe a history that, and it can go either way. I'm not saying it's going to work out. I'm saying that's the reasoning behind getting the deal done in the first place. Do you think, I mean, what percentage chance do you think it's the Lakers versus, the rest of them?
Well, here's the positive for the Nets. If it's the Lakers, so we have LeBron tweeting out the eye emojis with the crown, okay?
And this is in a world in which that he's definitely getting traded, right? Let's take out the option that he somehow figures out a way to stay with the Nets after all this riffraff.
It would feel pretty tough to walk back to the locker room. Because the initial tweets about all this was like, Kyrie either wants to be traded or he won't re-sign with the team. So if he doesn't get traded, there's that like, hey, we still have 15, 20 games left or whatever it is, 30 games left, plus the playoffs. Let's just let it ride.
Yeah.
Here's the positive of the Lakers, okay? No one wants Russell Westbrook.
No.
Absolutely. You know, I will say,
and
like,
you're a Wizards guy. I mean, you used to love him.
Yeah, there is something actually appealing about Russ in the fact that, like, I mean, one, him and KD back together. We're pretty sure Kevin Durant does not want to play with Russell Westbrook ever again. But at least Russ, like, cares, you know? He plays. He cares. He maybe cares too much. Mm. But he's kind of fit into this bench role very nicely, even though the Lakers haven't been that good. Ultimately, we haven't heard too much from him about being ultra upset about it. The good thing about the Lakers is you have the LeBron eye emoji crown tweet. Mm-hmm. You have the Magic Johnson tweet. All those are messages being sent to Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss, right? And that public pressure helps Sean Marks on some level. It helps him to know that, like, LeBron wants Kyrie. Mm. And now that LeBron knows it's a possibility, the amount of pressure that he can put on Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss to make this deal. Because before, when it was like Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, okay, like, how fired up can LeBron get? How many times could he text Rob Pelinka? It's like, we got to get Buddy Hield here. Now it's Kyrie. Hmm. And so, okay, Russ sucks. I don't want Russ. I get it. I'll do a three-team trade that could solve all the problems in a second. But what does interest me is Russ, Lonnie Walker, trade out. I mean, Joe Harris, again, it has to be in there for contracts. Joe Harris and Kyrie, plus those two first-round picks that they can trade. That is like a view into the future of the Nets coming out of this with some level of like, hey, we have real assets. Hey, KD, we're not going to win the championship this year. But, Kevin, we will use these two first-round picks and the ones we will be made available once the offseason hits because the step-in rule will kind of lax some of our picks in the future. You'll trade those two plus another one with Ben Simmons, and we will get you Dame Lillard, mm-hmm. you know, or we'll get you whoever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's a game plan. It's not this season, Kevin Durant. It sucks. You're an MVP candidate. Your guy Kyrie did this to us.
Mm-hmm.
Glue Guys Theater. I'm Sean Marks. You're Kevin Durant.
Couldn't get halfway through his best behavior extension season. Couldn't do it. Couldn't get, honestly, 3 weeks into it. Let's keep it super real.
Do you want to know the quick three-team trade?
Oh, yeah.
That I just thought of?
Heck yeah.
Before this, there's reporting that the Lakers, I think Chris Haynes was reporting that the Lakers and Jazz had been talking again about a Russell Westbrook deal. Russ to Utah, mm-hmm. which everyone assumed would be Mike Conley and Malik Beasley or Mike Conley and Jared Vanderbilt. You and I had talked on our pod mm-hmm. yesterday about Ben Simmons to Utah for Mike Conley and Jared Vanderbilt. If there's a way to redirect Russ to Utah, bring Mike Conley and Jared Vanderbilt in, plus Lonnie Walker, you know, I'm not saying it's perfect, but then maybe you only keep one of the first round picks and the other one goes to Utah. That makes it way more enticing to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's a possibility of that. And so if there's a possibility of a three-team trade where like Utah gets one of the first round picks, the Nets get one of the first round picks, but the Nets get Mike Conley. Let me ask you this. Mike Conley and Jared Vanderbilt is better than Russell Westbrook? Or do you have no, there's no way for us to really know. Well, we don't watch that much Mike Conley.
I view it as like consolidating tradable things into it. Like, so for us, it's like, okay, take a flyer on the season, whatever. It's we're punting into next. And now we have like this very tradable situation. Mike Conley and Malik Beasley or Vanderbilt. That seems to me to be like, let's see if we can be competitive on some level, which like, I think, you know, I can see sense in both of it. There's just no way like to know how Kevin Durant feels about, he's just not going to want to be like, okay, wait another half a season. Like everything was going so well, Mike, until it all falls apart so fast.
But who do you think Kevin Durant blames in this situation? I mean, he wanted Sean Marks fired. So
I don't think it's much more complicated for him than like Kyrie's great. He hoops, give him a contract. That, I don't think it's going to be that much more complicated for him. So I think he blames the front office. I mean, if I had to guess,
there are a few factors I think that are working for the Nets. I'm just trying to be positive. There are a few factors working for the Nets now versus earlier in the year. We're further away from the anti-Semitic video that he tweeted out.
You always do this like big pause afterwards too.
I just want people to soak it in because it's such a weird.
It is a weird plot line. It's a weird season two sort of plot line.
You know, remember Steve Nash coached this team? Do you remember that? How like good of a guy Jacques Vaughn is. The Suns have a new owner. This guy who used to play, he was like a walk on at Michigan State, who's worth $10 billion. So new owners are always dumb. Mm-hmm. That's just this kind of how it goes in basketball. The Lakers are more desperate than they were at the beginning of the season because they're like just outside the playoffs and they still haven't made a big move at all. The Mavericks, again, another team, are desperate because they have this Luka issue happening where they cannot find a second star to play with Luka. And they're entering closer and closer to the territory of like, Luka's going to start sniffing around and think, wait, why am I in Dallas if they're not going to get me anyone? And they are run by Nico Harrison. Mark Cuban, but Nico Harrison is the team president. Nico Harrison was one of the biggest people at Nike, whilst Kyrie was one of the biggest athletes that they had.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a relationship there, though Kyrie obviously not have
a bit of a sticky wicket. Yeah.
But Nico Harrison was gone throughout all of that. So maybe that was the missing piece. And I will say the offer that would be, I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie coming back to Brooklyn would be great for our show because I would work day and night to get him back on the show.
Yeah.
That would be great. Dorian Finney-Smith is a perfectly fantastic player. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, okay, let me ask you this. Forget about JaVale McGee because he has just, he's like 35 years old. He's our age. Yeah. It's incredible.
I already forgot about him.
Dinwiddie and Finney-Smith or Saric and Chris Paul?
Ooh, that's a tough one, Mike. That's a really tough one because the nostalgia for Dinwiddie is real, very real in these parts, this part of the internet. I'm just going to take Sarich and Dorian Finney-Smith out of it because, you know, whatever, that's fine. It's mostly Dinwiddie versus Chris Paul. I am kind of tempted to take a flyer on Chris Paul. I know that sounds weird. And nostalgia is powerful, but I might want to go for Chris Paul just to see if we can't, because there's so much that works about this team. There's a lot of depth. We talk about this, you know, like before all this happened, everything was fine just, you know, 3 weeks ago. So if he can right the ship, and I think he could do it more so than maybe Dinwiddie could potentially, I might go that route, but it's tough. That pains me to say.
Dinwiddie is friendlies. Did you have friendlies in New Jersey?
Of course.
It's a place I went to a lot when I was young because it was like in the town center. Mm-hmm. But I haven't been to in 15 years, and I have nostalgia of the way they make the ice cream sundae where it was like in the thing and then the cone like a head for the sundae, made a little face, but it's like never actually good. Dinwiddie is nostalgia, where Chris Paul's like that restaurant that used to be like the best restaurant in town, kind of fallen off the map a little bit. They changed cooks, but they still got something.
It's a Chili's. It's a Chili's. It's just an institution. and those nachos, they slap. I'm going to go to my grave saying Chili's nachos are like the
most.
Yeah, please.
Chili's margaritas are terrible, but they fill you up. They got
a lot of calories in it.
It's like five servings in one. And for a guy, you know, who used to live in Manhattan, I'll take the savings on that. Here's the other thing about Chris Paul. If you bring back Spencer Dinwiddie, I don't think that moves the needle for Kevin Durant, where Chris Paul moves the needle.
Yeah, it does.
Whether I don't know what,
and that's his nostalgia relationship talking. Ever. That's more like Kevin Durant's nostalgia. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Dragon Ball Z for him.
Yes.
You know, that hits him right in the gut.
Yeah.
Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, Chris Paul, even at his diminished state, Dinwiddie's a better player right now, I guess.
Yes.
It's Chris Paul means something to Kevin Durant.
That's his Majin Buu, Mike. And you're my Majin Buu. Get us out of here, Mike. This is a stressful day. I'm cooked.
Thank you all for listening. I mean, we'll just, you know, we're going to be on red alert, red alert, red alert. I will say, add one last thing. Sam Amick from The Athletic, he just put out a story and saying, it's worth remembering that the Lakers were known to have significant concerns about the prospect of adding Kyrie Irving both before and after his decision to, both before and after his decision to share anti-Semitic material on social media back in October. From a business standpoint, it's less than ideal to add an athlete who was so toxic just a few months ago that Nike severed its ties with him. So Sam is laying out here like the thinking inside the Lakers, which is probably more from the Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss side, which is they've never really been on the Kyrie train. This has been a LeBron thing. But LeBron, again, eye emoji, crown.
It's all it takes. That's all it takes. At BK Glue Guys on Twitter, discord.gg/glueguys. Join us. And Mike, the New York Times, The Athletic, all the good stuff.
Yeah. By the way, Kyrie's still available for the game against the Wizards coming up. So.
Ooh. All right. Let's see. All right. Bye, everybody. Hang in there. We got this. It'd be safe. All right. Bye.
Hi everyone, it's Meg Linehan here. If women's soccer is your calling, I'm excited to say my podcast, Full Time, is back on May 23rd. Join myself and my new amazing co-host, Tamara Griffin, every Thursday as we take a deep dive into the biggest stories in the women's game, from the NWSL to the Olympics. We'll bring you in-depth reporting that only The Athletic can provide, chat to leaders within the industry, and chart the next phase of the U.S. Women's National Team as they look to rebuild. Just search for Full Time wherever you get your podcasts and follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode.